which means God with us. It has the implication of God is with us. It is a prophecy also of Christ in that he would be God in the flesh. And that is, unto us a child is born, a son is given, that a man would come who would be the Son of God, who would be the image of the Heavenly Father, is the image of the invisible God. That is what Christ is. No man hath seen the Father at any time, but the Son reveals the Father to us. And we can see the Son, and in seeing the Son, we've seen the Father, because the Father cannot be seen, but the Son can be seen, because he is the image of the invisible God. Prophecies given in the Old Testament oftentimes have near applications. And that's what limited the word virgin to young woman. But the actual intent is not for man to judge, certainly not unbelievers, because there are many other prophecies. You know, it's funny they always pick on that one, because what about Psalm 22? What about Isaiah 53, the prophecies concerning his crucifixion? I suppose that's why a lot of people like to say that he never existed, or that those things were, you know, lies about him later. Well, we'll get into that when we get there. Or you can go back to Matthew and Mark and read, listen to the chapters on Christ's crucifixion. You know, chapters 27, 26, 27, and 28 of Matthew, and 15 and 16 of Mark. So Mary was indeed a virgin, never had known a man. Jesus Christ was not conceived of a human man, but of the Holy Spirit. And though it is a miracle, it is not ridiculous, because we know we don't need a man to conceive a child, do we? I mean, we could replicate a virgin birth even today. We could, with intra vitro fertilization. It's just no virgin has ever stepped forward wanting a baby. Usually they get unvirgin first before they want to get rid of the man. But it's entirely possible to do it by science and technology. Not that God relied on science and technology, but it's not such a ridiculous thing, understanding what we understand. But Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. I like what the angel says. That holy thing, you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, is the Hebrew word, name, that means the salvation of God. It is equivalent to Joshua of the Old Testament. But how do we get Jesus from Yeshua? Well, the Greeks transliterated it Jesus, Yeshua. And we translate the Greek into English, so it's like a third generation hand-me-down word. But I don't think that it's important to pronounce his name properly. And there are groups out there who do. It is not, because there were a lot of Yeshuas in Jesus' day. And there are a lot of Yeshuas in Israel today. And there were many Yeshuas throughout history. But there is only one Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead. There's only one Jesus Christ that taught the doctrines that are contained in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. That's why it's not the name, meaning it's not the letters that we form with our mouths to pronounce a label for the man, because it is only a label of a person, of a history, of a narrative, of a life. They call me Paul, but my name is more than just P-A-U-L, Paul. What is there something, you know, and so is there something special about Jesus, the name? Because it says it, the name of Jesus. Because it's not so much that the words themselves have some special power, but when we refer to a man by that name, and it is the true Christ, and where faith is placed in him, in the man. Because I don't believe in a name. I don't believe in a book. I believe in a man. I believe in a man who lived and breathed and walked, and yet lives and breathes now, and is set down at the right hand of God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. It is said in Matthew. Because that's what it means. Yeshua, salvation of Yah. He is the Savior. He will save his people from their sins. He shall be great and called the Son of the Highest. Is it not true? Is that not what we say of him to this day? The Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. As Paul wrote in Hebrews, all things are put under his feet, but we do not yet see all things put under his feet. But he shall subject all things to his rule. Ultimately, we're going to subject the whole world to the rule of Jesus Christ by force. Not willingly. But for now, we preach the gospel that we may call forth a people chosen of God, prepared for that day. Prepared for everlasting life. And I want to prepare my life for that day. So that when the trumpets shall sound and the signals shall be given, I will be ready to march forth into battle for the Lord and for his kingdom. And that should be the aim of every Christian. To be ready for that time. Now, I don't mean stockpile weaponry. We don't need weaponry. If I need a weapon, you know what's going to happen? God will send fire out of my mouth if I need to kill anybody. And he'll send it out of your mouth too if you're one of his chosen, alive at the end of the days. In the end times. As the prophets of old. We don't need those kind of weapons. What we need to prepare, and we don't need to prepare that either, obviously. Because that's the power of God. You have to prepare those things. What we need to do is prepare our hearts. To seek after righteousness. To endure hardness. To perfect holiness. In the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. First verse. Laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because that is our duty as Christians, as heirs of salvation, to be like him, to grow up into him. He is great, and so shall we be great, because we follow him. We are his disciples. He's going to make us like him. There is no in-between ground. There is no low place to occupy. The least in the kingdom of heaven shall be the greatest. And we'll talk about what that means. But I'll hint it to you right now that Jesus Christ is first and last. He is the bookend on each end. You can't be less or more than him. You must be as him. You cannot be less than Christ and enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot be more than Christ because it is not given to you. He encompasses all. And she had said, well, I'm a virgin, how shall I be? And then he says, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to come. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived.